Hello, this is Paramjit Singh from Passing Cloud Seeds, a podcast. This is a podcast number 6, and we are going to talk about how being kind to yourself is not a weakness. This topic is highly relevant since we have been locked in for the past 2 months, and I have heard individuals talking about how they feel like a failure because they have not been able to maximize or optimize these 2 months to do certain things in the context that they want to learn new skills, learn new hobbies, and all sort of expectation that has been put forward that because you are inside, you could use this opportunity to learn new things. So that creates a different kind of environment, both internally and externally, and can lead to excessive self-criticism. So I'm going to briefly talk to you about 3 things. One is what happens when we are being overly critical. Second, what are its impacts, both psychologically and at a much larger level, biologically. And the third thing I'm going to talk to you very briefly is what can you do to come out of this cycle so that it does not eat into your well-being. So let's take for a moment what happens when we are being overcritical. There's some basic biological stuff happens when we are being overly critical. And overcriticism is a kind of an emotional response. So counterintuitive to what we think, that being critical can be a helpful way to account for our responsibilities and change things according to that. But over-criticism can generate a hyper-reaction, which can, in fact, go against us when we talk from the standpoint of how the brain makes decisions. So it does its own bad stuff when we are thinking in the terms of decision-making. The second, psychologically, when we are caught up in this whole process, it starts to eat into our well-being because this criticism or excessive criticism over the period of time, you'll start to feel that it generates that sense of not being good enough. So it can have or set up a number of conditions and factors which can lead to multiple issues that could be part of the mental health issues. And the third one could be that you feel socially awkward because you have not been optimizing, you have not been doing things which could have been done, and that can lead to perfectionism syndrome, which means that you wanted to create something in the way you wanted, and that has led you to experience life in a slightly different way. So in a brief nutshell, these are the 3 things that would happen if you're caught up in over-criticism. One thing I would like to add here is that there's a difference between being accountable and over-criticism or over-critical, because accountable means that you take responsibility for what you have done, and if you can learn from something from it, you do it. But over-criticism is like over-blaming yourself or disregarding the factors which were out of your control. So these 3 things would, in fact, adversely impact the decision-making process and how you experience your life from day to day to one, and can generate expectations which are really not realistic. So what are the impacts of this kind of a thought process or a behavior pattern or social expectation? One of the very important repercussions of this thought process comes down to improper or impaired decision making. Because whenever we are caught up in emotional response, you will notice that your ability to make informed and rational decision goes down. And since over-criticism or being over-critical is a highly emotional response, it can impact the way you make informed decisions. So as much as you want to be accountable and responsible, you will notice that if you're caught up in this emotional reaction, it would work exactly against your thought of making a good decision or on the things that you want to do. And the second part is that having this kind of a sustained expectation eats into the life satisfaction, because you're always in this kind of a deficit mode that you are not good enough, that others are better than you. You are able to better optimize their time. They're able to better maximize their time. And you are not able to live up to the potential you think you can live up to. And that will impact the quality of your life satisfaction and work satisfaction too. Because if you're always aiming to be perfectionist, that would in fact impair the quality of work you do, or will make you excessively into procrastinating. And then it will also impact your self-relationship. The way you relate to yourself will be less than optimal or less than desirable. It will be unhealthy because you are in the process of blaming yourself for everything that goes wrong. And this excessive blame can lay the foundation or the groundwork for what we call various mental health issues, from depressions to self-esteem issues, if there is something called self-esteem. And also blaming yourself disregard how the system and the life works, because not everything is in our control. As much as we are made to believe in the capitalistic meritocratic society that if you do certain things in certain ways, you are bound to be successful. And if you are not successful, it means that you have not done certain things in certain ways. That's only half true. Yes, hard work and all sort of things are required, but they are associative factors, which means they're associated to the fact of being successful, but they are not the causative factors. That's a very important thing for us to understand, that associated factors are not causative factors, which means they do not cause what you're looking for. They are one of the aspects of the whole process. And other factors under certain conditions will be more powerful, which means that even if you have worked hard or you have done everything you could have done in this time of lockdown, you could still be unsuccessful. Does it mean that you have to take the blame for everything? I think we need to have a closer look at that. That's not the truly reasonable way to look at the things. And this blaming yourself can have adverse impact over the period of time. So all these things are in fact the likely impact of being in that mode where you're always trying to optimize and maximize and live up to the social expectation that you could always be doing something. There should not be any stone left unturned. Now you might be asking, what can I do? There are a few things we can do in order for us to actually cut through the counterintuitive and counterproductive impact of being in this state of hypercriticism always. And what I suggest to you, again, as I always say, that I offer these things in the spirit of inquiry and playfulness and curiosity, because they work very best. You're not approaching them from the state of that this is one and the only one thing to do. So I ask you to be curious about the things and come up with your own ideas. Once you start thinking about these things, I'm sure you will have sense where you can approach these things slightly differently. One thing I would suggest to you is that for 1 month, be kind to yourself. Every time you fail, every time you're not able to be successful in certain things, just remind yourself that you are human and humans are imperfect and we always make mistakes. But be sure that being kind here, as I suggest, is not a call for being laziness or being irresponsible or being careless. It all means that you have done what you could have done in a given circumstances, but you're willing to accept the consequences of that. And you're also willing to accept that sometimes things are out of your control. For anything to be successful, especially if it is mediated by multiple factors, all other factors, in addition to your hard work and your determination and your intention, has to play along to make that success happen. So keeping that in mind can be a helpful way to recalibrate the way we look at our hard work and meritocratic society. So for a little while, at least for a month, each time just practice self-kindness. Self-compassion is also another way to do that. It's interesting to notice that in Western dictionaries, compassion doesn't mean love and affection for yourself. It only means for others. So that's why we have added self-compassion into the whole process. The second thing you can do is to shift your thought process from what we call outcome orientation to task orientation, which means focusing more on doing the things rather than looking for a particular outcome. And focusing on the learning and letting go of anything you want to do can help you understand the value of just enjoying the process of learning and letting go for that moment. And that can help you actually stay in that sense of kindness and allow you to actually diminish some of the negative impact and consequences of being in this kind of a what we call ego orientation stage, where you are so wedded to the fact that certain things in certain way has to happen for you to be happy and well and have a worthy self-esteem. Number third, you can do, allow yourself to be human. It's very important for us to embrace our humanity, imperfections, and our Achilles heel. We are all humans. We have all those things which can be improved. But in order to improve, we have to actually observe them in a non-judgmental space, which means that if you are in a critical stage, you are in fact overloading your brain to make a decision which may not be very productive in the long scheme of things. So just be human. Remember that humans are messy and unkempt. They make mistakes. And by taking that kind of a measured approach to this whole process can allow us to see our Achilles heels and our imperfections in a more reasonable light. And from that reasonable stance, we can chart out a journey which can help us remedy those things. And if they cannot be remedied, we can come to accept it. And if the things are accepted, that will automatically generate what we call self-kindness. So having those three things in place can be a wonderful way to start this journey of being kind to yourself. Again, I repeat that being kind doesn't mean lazy. It doesn't mean irresponsible. It doesn't mean carelessness. It just means that we accept the aspect of our humanity and imperfections and Achilles heel and hold them in a kind of a non-judgmental space so that we can look them properly, rationally, and then if they can be remedied, we can go from there rather than caught up in this kind of a always self-critical approach that I'm not good enough, that I will never be good enough. In fact, I would say that we are always good enough if we choose to see ourselves that way. So in that spirit, be curious, be playful, and be sincere. I think that's one of the very important elements to develop self-kindness and self-compassion. If you find this useful, kindly subscribe, like, share the podcast with others. If you have any feedback, please do reach out to me. I would love to talk to you. Again, I would say that our humanity makes us human. Thank you very much.